Win £100,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. The jackpot must be won this week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
It's going to be a busy Saturday of racing, and thank you for joining us on the From the Horses Mouth podcast. We've already looked at Friday Dundalk. We've already looked at Friday in ITV, and now Rory and Ruby are back to look ahead to a Saturday afternoon of racing at Newmarket. It's Cesarewitch Day. Really looking forward to one of the great handicaps run all season. You've also got the small matter of the Dewhurst Stakes, the best 2-year-old race of the season. It tends to be, as well as a couple of nice races at York to look at. Now, Paddy's Pick 5, it is live and available. Check the show notes. You can get involved. We had so close to getting a winner. It's $100,000. It's free to play. We very nearly had a winner or a few winners last week. If you pick the 5 winners, you'll get either the entire $100,000 or you'll share it with other winners. The 4 races, 2:40 York, 3 o'clock Newmarket, 3:15 York, 3:40 Newmarket, 4:25 York. All of those on Racing TV. 4 of the 5 are live on ITV as well. And we'll discuss those races shortly. Okay, gentlemen. Autumn racing, Ruby Walsh, when we get to this stage where we get the international racing on the flat world coming up, we get the jumps coming back as well. It's a good time to be a racing fan, I think. I like it.
I wouldn't disagree. A little bit of a crossover. Obviously, it can be hard to judge flat horses at this time of the year when the ground starts to get slow and some have had a long year. But and then the jumping, you're reaching for better ones to come out. It is a good time of year, but... I don't know. It's not quite the height of the season.
No, it's not. But I like it because I'm not flat or jumps. I'm both. I love everything.
So am I. But I prefer the better of the flat in the summer and the better of the jumping in the winter. I think this crossover time of year, probably my least favorite time of year.
Actually. Okay, well, I like it. That's classic. It's not the first time we'll disagree, Ruby Walsh. It's not the last time we'll disagree. And it's definitely not the first time we've disagreed. Rory, as you get rid of that nasty cough that you've got there and unmute yourself, you are... Actually, I'd never asked you when we first got you on. You're a flat or jumps man?
Well, I started off as a jumps man, very much, and came around to the flat a little bit later. But again, with Ruby, it's, you know, the quality is what keeps you going. Although I prefer poor quality jumping to poor quality flat racing.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. I think there's always some appeal to a moderate jumps card in the middle of the winter. You know, the little tracks like the Plumptons and the Fontwells or the Toasters of yore. You know, you didn't have particularly good horses, but it was still a really enjoyable day out for people who like looking at horses and backing horses. Whereas poor flat meetings tend not to stir my soul so much.
Summer.
Possibly the 3:30 finish rather than 9 o'clock at night.
Well, there is that as well, but that's less of an issue for someone like me who can go whenever they want than those who are sort of involved in the game. Yeah, but if you're working in a stable and you're going to a bad flat meeting at Chelmsford or whatever and getting home at midnight, I can see why the appeal would fade very quickly. But you know, I'm not in that position. I'm not going to suggest that I'm badly done to that effect.
Back when Dundalk first started, they were racing, I think the last race was always around 9:25.
And never went off on time either.
Oh yeah, it was great. We had a market up on it. We priced it up. The last race of Dundalk to go off before the Late Late Show, which here in Ireland is after the 9 o'clock news on RT Television. It's the most watched TV show, essentially. It's our version of, I don't even know what you call it, our version of Graham Norton, maybe.
Well, it stands alone. Everyone else's show here is their version of the Late
exactly,
Late Show.
Exactly, yeah. So the Late Late Show is always after the news and the weather, and the 9:25, it used to be 9:35, 9:37. Yeah. But then when we, funnily enough, had a market up on it, and it was smashed from, I think, 2-1 into 4-9, the stalls handlers were fantastic at getting
amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible how that happened, isn't it? I wonder. You just wonder. That was good crack. Right. As I said, free tickets to Punchestown. I may not have said on this episode because I've been saying it all week. We have free tickets to Punchestown. If you fancy going on Tuesday, myself and producer Mark will be there. Ruby Walsh may even be there. Fran Berry might even be there. He said he'd probably go along for a pint. It's a card sponsored by Paddy Power. All you got to do is quote tweet anything. Quote tweet any of the tweets regarding this particular podcast over the weekend. Say something nice. You'll be in the hat. And as I said, good chance you get. Good chance. You never know. You never know. You might get free tickets. So do put your name in the ring. And as I said, Paddy's Pick 500 grand. Let's go through some of those races. Saturday ITV Racing, we get underway with the Zetland Stakes. It's a rare enough race, group race, where we get to see two-year-olds going over past a mile, mile and a quarter of the trip, flying honours rather, for Buick and Appleby is the 5-4 favourite at the time of recording. We're recording on Thursday afternoon, by the way, so there could be plenty of price changes. Dear My Friend for Charlie Mark Johnson, 6-1, 7-1 Galactic Jack, Bateman's Bay is 8-1, 9-1, or 8-1 Tenerife Sunshine, and 10's Blanche Land. Okay, the Zetland Stakes. I'm going to bring Rory in first. Give me the winner of this, and let me know, what was the last really good one to win this race? I'll put you on the spot there.
Well, Lone Eagle was second in an Irish Derby.
Oh, okay, and he won this.
Norway wasn't dreadful, but Kew Gardens was a pretty good winner of this in 2017.
Now we're getting to
You wouldn't knock him down, would you?
Nope. So you're looking for a stayer, essentially.
You are. I mean, yeah, for horses to be effective at a mile and a quarter as two-year-olds, you'd expect them to stay beyond a mile and a half. As three-year-olds. Coronet, of course, won this for John Gosden the year before Kew Gardens, and she won the filly and mare on Champions Day?
I think she
Certainly was placed in it. She won the Ribblesdale. So she was a mile and a half filly through and through. So yeah, we know these are going to be mile and a half horses next year. And there have been varying degrees of class in this race over the years. But in fairness, the last decade has been pretty good, and Aidan O'Brien's been happy to bring horses here. Of course, when Lone Eagle won this in 2020, there was a rather disappointing horse called Kyprios, way behind. Hype horse, they said then.
What did he ever do?
Yeah, he'll never amount to anything. So, yes, you do get some half-decent horses coming through here, but there doesn't tend to be a huge amount of form in behind it. If they're going to be high-class stayers, they won't have had much of an opportunity to showcase that before this race. And it sometimes just goes to the best horse who just about stays a mile and a quarter at this stage. And that might be the case here with Flying Honours, who I don't think is going to turn into a top-class stayer next season. But his form reads well until that ridiculously messy race last time out in the Royal Lodge. Excuse me. The fact that he was sent off 2-7 for a race at the Royal Lodge tells you plenty about what he'd done before that. The Royal Lodge turned into a 2-furlong sprint, and they all hampered each other apart from the winner. So it's form to throw out the window. His previous, he'd won by 9.5 lengths in a novice at Sandown in July. In August, he went to Salisbury, where he won one of their better races. And the horse he beat by 6 lengths that day, or 5.5 lengths rather, went on to win the Haynes Hansen and Clark at Newbury. Now, the Haynes Hansen and Clark doesn't have group status, but it's thrown up some very good horses over the years. So there's no reason to doubt that form. So on the basis of his Salisbury run, where he was very strong at the finish over a mile, he should stay, and he has more class than these. I suspect because of his slightly disappointing effort, people got their fingers burned back in him at short odds last time. We discussed the idea, and I think he was 8-15 when we were talking about that race. And the question was, is at what point do you step in and back a horse at 8-15? Well, 8-15 looked great value compared to the price he went off at. He went off at 2-7. So there were people happy to buy money at that price, but unfortunately it didn't work out. And that was the point I made at the time. You never know when you're going to get a farcical race. If you're backing horses at really short odds, if you're backing anything at short odds, you want to have a very good idea about how the event is going to pan out. You don't just back them because they look to be much better than the opposition. If the tactics are wrong or you don't have full control over the race, then those odds can look ridiculous after the race. I think you get a slightly better price about him now than you would do because of that defeat last time out. And I would pretty much put a line through it. Think he should be too good for these.
Okay, solid case made for Flying Honours. You're going to add to it, or are you going to take him on, Ruby Walsh?
I'm going to take him on with one that is bred to get every yard of the mile and a quarter and probably wants further. It looked like it even did at Goodwood when it won, and that was by Galactic Jack, who's by Galileo out of Jack Naylor, who was runner-up in an Irish Oaks to Covert Love.
Correct.
So stamina abound for Galactic Jack. He looked green, hung left all the way down the straight in Goodwood, but David Probart didn't get overly serious with Galactic Jack. He was always doing enough to beat Midnight Line, and I think he will give Flying Honours plenty to do.
I said correct to the fact that Jack Naylor was second to Cover Love, as if I, you know, knew that. The only reason I knew that is because we had Fran on. I was talking to Fran on our Fran on Fridays podcast 2 weeks ago, and I said to you, "Oh yeah, did you ride? You rode in the Irish Oaks?" I said, "Yeah, I was second aboard Jack Naylor to Cover Love. Pat Smullen completely outrode me." That's the only reason I knew that. 225 is the Autumn Stakes, a similar kind of race, to be honest, as the Zetland, but just 2 furlongs shorter. This one also for juvenile silver knot. Guess what? Buick and Appleby, the 2-1 favorite. Epicetus is how I'm going to pronounce this, but I could be way off. For Jonathan Daly, Gosling and Frankie is 2-1. One run, one win. Holloway Boy for Carl Burke. Go back to Royal Ascot. Has been well backed. Carl Burke's 2-year-olds again flying. Fives into 130. 6-1 Dancing Magic. The Maiden for Roger Teal. Exoplanet for Roger Varian is 14s and 25-1 the outside of Killybegs Warrior. All right, Ruby, the Autumn Stakes.
I'm with Epicetus, who is joint favourite, I think, PK, or there or thereabouts.
Yep. 2-1.
Haven't seen him since he won in July. Desert Order was third, and Flying Honours, who was favourite for Zetland, was fourth on that occasion. Martin Harley rode Epicetus on that occasion, and I thought it won with plenty up its sleeve. Liked the way it did it. You could wonder, where has it been? 92 days since we saw Epicetus, but I'm glad to see him again, and I think it'll win the Autumn Stakes.
Lovely. Yeah, 2-1 joint favourite and a potential related double again here with Flying Honours under Epicetus. Rory?
Yeah, I agree. I think Holloway Boy will run really well. But I think he might just come second again. He's run well to be second in both starts since the Chesham. But he just lacked the tactical pace necessary against Nostrum last time out. But a well-run race at a mile is almost certainly going to suit Holloway Boy. You just get the impression that he might find something a little classier on the day. And Epictetus or Epictetus or whatever you want to call it may well be the one. Again, yeah, Ruby says the fact that he's been off for 3 months is a slight concern, but John Gosden has always been very good at getting his horses to show the form in the autumn. Aside from Champions Day, which seems to be a bit of a bogey day for Mr. Gosden, but his father was exceptionally good at winning late season handicaps. He won the November handicap multiple times, Tizer Gosden, and John Gosden himself has won that race multiple times as well. So very good at keeping his horses in form, and if he needs to give them a break mid season to make sure that they're at their peak at this stage of the year, he gets it right far more often than he doesn't. So I'm not really worried about the layoff. Strictly speaking, he needs to improve on bare form, but that maiden worked out really well. You know, the form from that suggests it was stronger than it looked at the time. The time figure was very good. Everything about it suggested he would improve or step up to a mile, and just he would improve for the run as well. So although he's got about maybe 4 or 5 pounds to find with Holloway Boy, you get the impression that with Holloway Boy having had 3 runs and run to a similar sort of level, the Gosden cult should improve enough to be the master of him here. But I'd be keen on playing the forecast, because I think Holloway Boy is the kind of horse, as we've seen, he always brings his A game. Whether he's going to prove himself to be genuinely top class next year, I don't know. But I think he again will run his race. So the forecast makes sense to me here.
That's 3 to beat 5, as far as you're concerned, on that forecast. Epictetus. Look, he's a Greek philosopher, unsurprisingly. Mad for the old stoicism.
He
was mad for the old stoicism, according to Wikipedia. It's not written that way, but that's how I've read it. 2 votes for the John and Lady Gosden cult, as Rory brilliantly put it. Epictetus. Right, the Dewhurst is the group one on Saturday. We're recording on Thursday. The bad news came through this morning that, unfortunately, Sakir, Antipo's favourite for the race, had a dirty scope, so he's been taken out. 6-4 favourite. The money did arrive for Nostrum about an hour before Sakir came out. 6-4 favourite Nostrum for Sir Michael Stout. Richard Kingscote looked very impressive. Naval Power unbeaten in 4 for Appleby and Buick, who could have a great Saturday. 3-1, 9-2 Chaldean, Frankie Dettori, Andrew Balding in the second colours of Judmont. 11-2 Aesop's Fables is the Aidan O'Brien horse with Ryan Moore on. That's 11-2 and 10's Bar. Back to you, Rory, for the Dewhurst. It's a shame Sakir is not here, because I actually was hoping for a bit of a price on Nostrum. But anyway, make the case.
I like Chaldean, and of course everyone knows that you want to have the second colours in these big races. He's just been a horse who's for whatever reason, not captured the imagination of the odds compilers, at least in his career so far. He's done absolutely nothing wrong in his four starts. I suppose the worry, the potential worry for Chaldean is if it turns up very quick on the day. But I think there's going to be a bit of rain on Friday night at Newmarket, and they have been watering this week. 10 mils put down this week. I mean, you consider the time of year, they're running the risk of heavy showers turning it softer. If it does get a little bit soft, it will suit Chaldean really well. He shaped very well on his debut at Newbury, stepped up on that when he won his next start. I was really impressed with how he did that, because he raced largely on his own from an inside, or from a low draw that day. No, I say a low draw, a high draw, I mean. If I can work out the nature of the track there. But looked very professional. You know, he could have raced very freely from where he was, because he raced on his own. I thought he did that nicely, and I really fancied him in the Acom, which I thought he won really well. He then bettered the Acom form, and indeed clearly stepped up on form, because he beat Indestructible by 3.5 lengths. He'd beaten Indestructible half a length at York. So you can see that he's coming forward with each run. There was a disappointing Godolphin colt back in third. And I think people tend to look at that and go, well, maybe that's not good form because the favourite's been beaten. But I thought, you know, Silver Knot just looked not as good as Chaldean on the day. He probably wasn't suited by being held up last of the three, but I don't think he ran badly in the grand scheme. I think Chaldean just showed himself to be a top-class colt that day, and one who will continue to improve. He's impressive physically, Chaldean. He's a horse with a strength and scope to do better from 2 to 3. And I like him a lot. I just thought that he had the best form in the race. And he's a surprisingly big price because he is, you know, the owner's apparent second string in the race. But I don't really buy that. And I think he will be in a very good position early on. He's shown in all his starts to date that, well, since his debut, that he's a very easy horse to position in a race. And a lot of two-year-olds aren't, because a lot of them, you know, if they hit the front, they race too freely. And, you know, some of them will need to dominate to show their form. And Chaldean so far has just shown that you do what you like with me, really. If you want me to lead, I'll lead. If you want me to race just off the pace, that's fine as well. He's got a very good attitude, and he seems very tractable. And those are good qualities as well as class. So with that in mind, this is a tough race. This is certainly his toughest race so far. But I think he's well positioned for a horse who can go forward in stall five. I think that means that he's going to get a good position near the rail. He won't necessarily lead, but looking at run styles in this race, he's just about the likeliest leader. But I don't think Frankie Dettori will feel the need to try to dominate these rivals unless if something goes faster than him early on. I think he'd be happy to let that one go on. If not, then he can make the running. And that's that freedom is a big plus as well. So Chaldean gets the vote from me. You know, admitting that Nostrum looked very exciting last time out, I think Chaldean has achieved slightly more to date.
Great case. I'm still back in Nostrum. Ruby.
Nostrum was very impressive the last day, PK. I can see why you're all over that. I love the way it hit the line. Obviously, as Rory has said, the Holloway Bay form, boy form, even comes into that Nostrum run, as it does with Marban at Goodwood. But I think you can just put a line through Marban and Aesop's Fable at the Curragh. I think the ground was too soft for both of them, and especially Aesop's Fable, who's by no name ever. And I think I was really impressed with Aesop's Fable when he beat Hand Anderson at the Curragh in August. I think the ground nailed. I think he got nailed to the ground in the National Stakes, and I'm going to take a chance on him. I can see where I can see the case for Nostrum and Chaldean. Even Naval Power, who with two flicks of the whip quickened through the gap at Haydock to beat Dancing Magic. But I thought Captain Winters was the eye catcher coming home in that race. I think he could be the one for the future. I think Isaac Shelby was just fitter than Victory Dance when he won at Newmarket in July. I'm coming around to Aesop's Fable. I think a lot of his form ties in, same horses. What are they beating? How are they beating it? I think if they don't get any rain, Aesop's Fable on a quick surface is the one.
Lovely. Okay, Aesop's Fable is a nice price too. He's 11-2 at the time of recording. Rory with Chaldean is 9-2, so taking on the winner, Nostrum. All right, we'll move on to the Cesaro, which is due off at 3:40. This is a cracking handicap. Obviously, dreadful news this morning as we record on Thursday that our commiserations with David Pipe's team, Pondhouse, and everyone involved with Adagio, who's a big anti-post mover and unfortunately met his demise this morning. It's a real, really sad story. Real shame, not just for the race, but obviously for connections. The makeup of the market, it concerns essentially two horses now, as far as the betting is concerned. A horse with no name for Nicky Henderson and Ryan Moore, talented man. Mare over Hurdles seems to be a better horse on the flat. And Run for Oscar, Charles Burns, has sent one over David Egan. And Fridays with Fran, if that's out already, which it should be, Fran was very keen on Run for Oscar. It's now, as I said, joint favourite. 10-1 for Willie Mullins' Gibraltar. Safi Osborne booked. You've also got Baby Zeus here, Ruby, Scaramanga as well. Are they the three Willie Mullins representatives?
They are.
Okay. Off, roll them off. What are the chances?
What are the chances? Gibraltar has hit a rich vein of form, even winning his last two at Leopardstown and Tremor of 69 and 77. He's up to 84. Trip, an extra couple of furlongs, it should be okay for him. Baby Zeus, he's into the unknown. I'm not sure he has much up his sleeve. Tom Marcand rode him at Leopardstown in the Patingo, and he ran his race. I just don't think he's anything up his sleeve. And I know he's a half sister to Legas de Vegas, but a half brother even to Legas de Vegas. But I'm not certain he got the trip. I know she got 2.5 to win the Ascot Stakes, but I'm not certain about his stamina. And Scaramanga, it's his first run for Willie. He hasn't run since Royal Ascot in June, where he was disappointing behind Coltrane. It's probably hard enough for us to get a handle on what his work should be. We don't know how he works traditionally or what he's normal, what he normally is. But look, he won off a mark of 86 at Newbury earlier in the year over 2021 over 2 miles. I'd say he's in good form. He's going well. I think he'll get the trip. I think he could be the best of Willie's, to tell you the truth. Scaramanga, if you're pushing me to go at one of them, I think Zoffy will run well. For Frankie Dettori, I think the 2-2 will really suit Zoffy. I think he wants a little bit further than 2 miles. Good run behind Sophie Stevens in July and ran okay behind Albert Boucher on his last start, considering Albert Boucher pulled out 2 days later and ran such a good race in the Ebor. That was a strong run at York in the 2 mile race there for him. And there's a few more you can fancy. Obviously, Adagio would have been of interest. I think Not So Sleepy is definitely of interest. I know he's a 10-year-old. He ran in the race. Did he run it last year or was it the year before? I think at a big price, he'll definitely give his run. In 2020, actually, he was behind Great White Shark. That was off a mark of 98. He was quite keen and forward going at that stage. Off the same mark now, 2 years older, I think he's a little bit more relaxed. And I think he could run a good race. Not So Sleepy.
I'll nail you to one of those.
I'll go with Scott. I'm not nailing me to one in it. How many runners is there? 35?
I said I'm nailing you to one. This is my podcast. I'm nailing you to one.
It's your podcast. Did you hear that, Mark, producer Mark? This is PK's. This is PK's podcast. It's not even, actually, it's not a full field, is it? It's only.
No, I don't think it's got, we've got the 20, full field.
23, yeah. It's 11 shy of the maximum, which is.
Yeah, that's surprising, isn't it?
Well, maybe that's more of the issues in English racing. You can't even fill the Cesarewitch, but I go with Scaramanga. Just
thank you.
To one.
I am taking it to one. Rory, you can have as many as you like. I don't want to mess. So Scaramanga for Ruby is currently 11-1. Obviously, extra places in the Cesarewitch. This is, by the way, race number 3 in Paddy's Pick 5. Thanks, Paddy. Off you go, Rory.
I agree with a little bit that that Ruby said there. I think despite his age and Not So Sleepy could go well. He's been fourth twice in the race, I think, it's, of this mark in 2020, and I think he was fourth also in 2019. And he's shown better form over hurdles since, even as an old horse, because won the Fighting Fifth. So he's won a grade one hurdle since running in this race. So there's no reason to think he won't run well. He's a low unto himself, but he retains all that form. Listen, the prices about the likeliest winners are tight enough for me to get involved. So essentially what I'm looking at here is finding one at a big price who can make the frame, make the extra places. Excuse me. I'm not surprised that Ruby gone for Scaramanga. I give him a second look in the Irish Cesaro, which, but he'd prefer faster ground. He ran in this race last year and looked a non-stayer. That was on softish ground, but I could see him running a lot better on quicker ground, being a good price because of that poor run last year. But I'm going to go for one who stays all day, can look a hard ride, and I'd love to see the rain on Friday night. The lack of rain would be a worry. If it comes up good to firm, then I will be striking this off my list. But as long as it's good or softer, and good to soft ideally, Land of Winter will run well. Finished 10th or 11th in this race last season or the season before on quickish ground, and then won his next start on soft. Didn't really do himself justice. He's a horse who I think he probably needs slightly more severe headgear than he's got. He wears cheek pieces. He tends to come off the bridle in his races, but he finds a lot for pressure. So he often looks the first horse beaten. He did at Chester last time out. He was off the bridle a long, long way from home. But given that race was dominated by Amin, who won it, was always up with the pace, and Amin beats Call My Bluff, who's in here as well and has a chance. But given where Land of Winter was placed in that race, he was towards the back of the field because he couldn't go an awful lot faster, to be perfectly honest, around Chester, but stayed on very, very strongly in the closing stages. Give him another furlong and he won the race. But he took a long time to pick up, which is the concern with him. But I think on his best form, he's got a decent chance of making the frame off his current mark. He wants him to go a really good pace so that his stamina can come into play late in the day, given that he was hung wide much of the way through that race and finished eighth in the end of 3 pounds higher. Prior to that, he'd won well on soft ground at Nottingham. As I said, the softer the ground, really, the better for him. Just not because he's really a mudlark, just because it slows others down in the early stages, gives him more of a chance of travelling within himself. So a little bit of rain overnight would help. But I thought he shaped a lot better than the bare result in this race when he ran in it before. Last season when, as I said, he was 10th or 11th in the end. He did a lot of good late work, looking like he was going to be tailed off at halfway. So he never figured with a chance of winning, but ran on through horses. The key to him is just keeping him interested and keeping him in touch in the midsection of the race. If he's within 10 lengths of them, with 2 furlongs to go, he'll be placed. That's a slight question. And if the ground is really quick, he probably doesn't let himself down on it. I think his big issue last year was they'd run him on firm ground on his previous start, and I thought he was feeling that. He wasn't keen to let himself down. And then when he hit the rising ground late on, he was a lot happier. They haven't run him on such quick ground this season, and he stepped up markedly last time at Chester. That's a good run. And I think if he can repeat that, he could hit the frame. I don't think he's going to win this because of his run style, but because you're getting extra places and because you've got a race where they'll be taking each other on here, something that stays on late into the frame could reward supporting. Land of Winter appeals to me.
That's it. Land of Winter, 25-1 at the time recording. Scaramanga for Ruby at 11-1, although an honourable mention for Not So Sleepy from both Rory and Ruby as well, has finished placed in the race twice, as mentioned. Right, that is the Czarewicz, which is race number 4 in Paddy's Pick 5.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's go to York. We go there for the 205 on Saturday. Well, we go there for 3 races. The Rockingham, which is a listed sprint. It's a very different race to our Rockingham over at the Curragh. 6-4, the field here for these 2-year-olds. Alpha Capture for Haggis and Markand, your favourite. 7-2, Bolt Action and Rousing Encore. 7-1, Felix Natalis. Bay of Plenty is 12 for John Patrick Murta, as he's listed on the Paddy Power website. I think he goes as Johnny Murta mostly. It's 14s, bar. Back to you, Ruby Walsh, for the Rockingham.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with John Patrick Murta. Is that what you put it down? That was
JP,
his name was?
JP Murta, yeah. That's what's down.
Yeah, Bay of Plenty. I thought Bay of Plenty did well to win an ace. Got into a pocket passing the furlong pole or just before the furlong pole. Looked like that had stopped his chance of winning. But when they met the slip rail or they had the false rail 100 yards in the winning post, Bay of Plenty got out and I thought took off to beat one of Geraldine's. Love the way he went by the line, round by the stands. Bay of Plenty will do me.
Yeah, and he's having a season of seasons. Maybe not quite with the Group 1 horses that he so desires, but the most numerical amount of winners he's ever going to have in one season. So he's gone from strength to strength, is John Patrick. Your thoughts, Rory, on the Rockingham?
You'd have to respect Bay of Plenty, and there's clearly a fair bit of improvement to come from him. I would fear him. But I thought Alpha Capture would be very hard to beat here. He was a runner-up in a similar race last time out, but that's already worked out very well. He was second to Cold Case, and Cold Case has gone and won Enlisted Company and next time with the two-year-old trophy at Redcar, where he had a lot to spare over the field, despite apparently racing on the slowest part of the track. Holguin was second in that race, who was third. And again, Holguin came from quite a wide draw that day. Galeron, who was fourth, was a winner on his next start as well. So the form has worked out everywhere. Galeron won the Goffs Million at the Curragh, beating Helsing. That's worked out tremendously well. So given that he was showing improved form there, Alpha Capture, I would fancy him to step up again. The slight concern with him would be softer ground, which, you know, I think the weather's going to be okay at York on Saturday, but there's rain around during racing on Friday and it could turn soft. It's currently good to soft in places, but it could end up being soft all over by the end of Friday. That would be the slight concern with him, because his runs so far have been in good to firm, whereas Bay of Plenty is already proven on soft ground. So that would be the concern, and the softer it gets, the more I would sort of swing towards Bay of Plenty. But I think Alpha Capture is, as you can see from that last piece of form at Doncaster, is a very solid favourite.
Yeah, 1-8, 6-4. Bay of Plenty was 20s, now 12s. I was at the Nace Ruby the day he won, and my father had a horse running in a claimer at Listowel on the Monday or the Tuesday following. And we noted that Bay of Plenty was also in that claimer. So we said, well, that's not good. That's not going to win this race. And then Johnny was interviewed afterwards. He said, yeah, we didn't really think that. We have a claimer. We won't run with that now. So he obviously shows absolutely nothing at home, which is, as you've often said on this podcast, you don't mind the ones that show nothing at home. If they do it on the track, that's fine.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah. So Morning Glories, no thanks. But ones that do it on the track, happy days. So Bay of Plenty and the Alpha Capture, the two to watch out for. 2:40 is a mile and a quarter handicap. This is race number one of Paddy's Pick 5. So we're going to kick off with a winner on Paddy's Pick 5, hopefully. Marching Army, the 5-2 favourite for this handicap, just from Protagonist for Haggis. Again, 11-4, 5-1 Saga for John and Thady Gosden, 6-1 Algiers for Simon Ed Crisford and Stay Well, and 6-1 also What's the Story. So it's a very tightly little compact handicap, Ruby. This race is not much between them in the market, so you could pick any of them and you wouldn't be made to look a fool by looks things.
I'm going to go with Protagonist. Tried to lead them on the far side into Cambridgeshire. Was up there all the way. Obviously, near side of the track was the favourite side. So probably ran okay. Back up to 10 furlongs suits them. I'm going with Protagonist. It's interesting to see what Rory thinks.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with Protagonist too. Again, slight concern if it got very deep. He's got good to soft form, but probably unsuited by softer than that. But I think there's every chance it's going to swing back to good to soft on the day. I agree with Ruby. He did a lot of work on the front end of the wrong side of the track in the Cambridgeshire. He was impressive when winning a competitive handicap at Sandown over this trip in his previous start. And he just seems to have thrived for the switch to William Haggis. So no reason not to like him. I did like Stay Well for a while, but the more I look at Stay Well, the more I think he's a little bit soft on a finish and probably doesn't want to battle. So I can see him coming there with a big chance, but Protagonist would strike me as being the better battler of the pair. So he gets the vote.
Protagonists, from our protagonists, to win that 2:40, which is, as mentioned, the first race on Paddy's Pick 5. Okay, one more to look at York. It's the last race we'll look at. It's the 3:15. Dusky Lord, at the time of recording for the sprint handicap, is 7-1 favourite, but this is wide open, and obviously there's going to be extra places. 9-1 Lethal Nymph for Clive Cox, improving three-year-old, so taking on the older horses. Interesting at 9-1. Gulliver, who I think has won this race the last 2 years, is 9-1. 10-1 Mr. Wagyu. Lucky Man also tens on double figure odds of the remainder, including Ado McGuinness's Laugh a Minute, who was okay. I'll get the personal bit in here. Father has a leg in this horse. He should have won this race last year in the stewards' room. Fact. Anyway, right to you, Rory's Largy. Go on, give us the winner of this one.
it always means more when you've got a fact attached to it. beaten half a length by volatile analyst who hung left under pressure. But they'll be looking for revenge. And
watch it. Anyone, just watch it. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go on. That's a disgrace.
Pair of them meet again, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I like an outsider here, a horse that I've had half an eye on most of the season. And he will, whatever price he is now, he'll be a bigger price at the off, hopefully. And that's Apollo One for Peter Charalambos, who's now training in partnership with Mr. Clutterbuck. He is a horse whose form figures this season are respectable without being absolutely fantastic. But he's got very little experience in 6 furlong handicaps on turf, which I think is his ideal scenario. He was a good two-year-old. Interesting, I was trying to find out whether he'd be okay. The ground turned very soft. His one run on soft ground was a win in a four-runner conditions race at Salisbury as a two-year-old, where the comments were, didn't need to repeat his best form to win this. But you look at who he beat on the day. He beat Dark Shift, who, of course, won the Hunt Cup of a high mark this season, with another high-class handicapper, and When the Dealing's Done in third. So that ended up being a red-hot conditions race. And Apollo One did really well. I watched the replay back earlier on. Did really well to win as he did. Martin Harley, who rode him that day, was tracking Dark Shift on the far side of the track when the Dealing's Done switched to the far side in this small field race and came with a big run there. So Harley had to switch his horse across the track to challenge the right horse. He wanted to make sure he was tracking the right horse through the race, changed his mind, moved the horse all the way across the track to challenge When the Dealing's Done, and won by 3/4 of a length. Dark Shift, who stayed on the far side, actually finished second, and he probably did too much doing that. Now, that's going back a couple of years, but it shows that Apollo One handles the ground. That just reminds you what class he had as a two-year-old. He's the kind of horse who wasn't quite group standard. He was third in the Solario Stakes on his second start, but he ended up getting a very high handicap mark, and he was difficult to place. He did a lot of racing in listed company and group threes. And as I said, he's not had an awful lot of chance on turf at this trip. He ran well at Royal Ascot. He was beaten 4.5 lengths in the Wokingham, finished eighth, having tried to make all the running. You do not make all the running in Wokinghams. It's just impossible to do. I thought that was a good performance. He then dropped back to 5 furlongs, which is too sharp for him at Chester next time out. And he ran well, I thought, on the all-weather at Chelmsford last time out. He's effective on the all-weather, but I think a proper cavalry charge at this trip, where he can get good track position, we'll see him to best effect. He's drawn in stall 3, and he's got 2 good horses either side of them. Dakota Gold is clearly going to go forward from stall 2, and he's got Dusky Lord in stall 1 as well. So I think the far side could be the place to be. Apollo 1, he doesn't need to make all the running. He showed that when he won it, as I said, that Salisbury race. He just tracked the pace and showed a turn of foot to come through. He does like to be handy, though. With the soft ground likely to suit, Martin Harley back on board again. I think this could pan out nicely for Apollo One, but because of his losing streak and the fact that his yard is not a particularly good form or particularly sexy at any time of the year, I think he goes off one of the big outsiders in this race. And while he's appealing at the current odds, I'm hoping to get about twice of that on the day, because a few of these will be backed and I don't think he's going to be one of them.
Lovely. Peter Charalambos and Mr. Clutterbuck will be in contact regarding your unsexy comment.
I don't think Peter Charalambos would ever call himself sexy, but I could be wrong there.
That's Apollo One, who's 25-1 at the time recording, but Rory expects should get to a bigger price. I mentioned Gulliver won this race last year. He won the race 2 previous years. And as you rightly said, Rory, Volatile Analyst was the winner last year. So the last 3 winners all in the race. Ruby.
Yeah, I don't think the draw is going to be going to be that significant unless there is a track bias because of rain, because as Rory has said, you have Pace on the far side with Dusky Lord in 1, but you also have Mr. Wagyu in 15 and Bergerac in 19, which are going to help the pace on this side of the track. So I think there could be an even split on the speed, and I'm going to go for Lucky Man, who I thought was unlucky at Ayr, dwelt at the start after and to me blew his chance in the Ayr Gold Cup behind Summerhand, Comanche Falls and Joanne Lapin. He was on the far side in the Ayr Gold Cup. That was a solid run. He had won at Ayr or York previous to that. He was second to Gale Force 1 here in July, and he was second to Harry Tree in June. Likes York, I think, just needs to break evenly with them. He's a 3-year-old by Cody Bear. I'm with Lucky Man.
Lovely. And he's still grimly hanging on to double-figure prices as we record 10s from 12 to 1. That's it, folks. We've covered a lot of racing here in the From the Horse's Mouth podcast over the last 2 days from Friday at Dundalk to also, if you are listening to this by the time that hasn't run, off you go. Fridays of Fran is live and also, of course, Friday on ITV. Right, we are going to try and win Paddy's Pick 5, lads. It hasn't won a few weeks and we've got a nice, easy afternoon of 20-odd runner handicaps to try and find the winner. The first Paddy's Pick race is the 240 at York. That race is going to be live on both Racing TV and also on ITV. And you both went for the same selection, folks, so this is nice and easy. Rory?
That would be
the main something.
Protagonist.
That's it. The protagonist will win at that 240. Hopefully get everyone off to a cracking start. In the Dewhurst Stake, neither of you fancied, which is the 3 o'clock in New York, neither of you fancied Nostrum, the winner. So I will give the vote.
So no, you know what? Seeing as you're so bullish and so keen, you pick that one.
I'll go Nostrum in the Dewhurst. Will be the not new favorite for the 2000 guineas, but I'll tell you what, he'll relish the mile anyway next season in next year's guineas. So Nostrum in the Dewhurst. Thanks, Ruby. The 315 at York, which is a race we covered, the Sprint Trophy handicap. It's a big field. Both of you fancy big prices, but Ruby, yours was a little bit shorter, so I'll give you
lucky that. Man,
thank you very much, lucky man. The Cesarewitch, big fancies again, but Ruby, again, yours was a shorter price, and to be fair, Rory, yours thought was a place really.
Yeah,
so Ruby, you get the vote.
Scaramanga.
That's Scaramanga in the 340. And then the 425, which I haven't asked either of you to look. Does this mean I get two picks in Paddy's Pick 5 this week? 425
at York. That's at York, not... Where did you say it was yesterday?
Yeah, I said it was Newmark yesterday, but it's definitely York.
All right, this race is in York for all listeners.
Atacama Desert, won over the course and distance last time out. David Allen, Kevin Frost combined. Unsexy. As Rory put them, unsexy kind of profile, but a horse who won over the track and trip looks to be nicely improving in a race where there's no 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds and upwards, and that one to make it back-to-back wins. Paddy's Pick 5, free to play, 100 grand up for grabs. Let's win it this weekend. Best bets on Saturday. I'll let you just kind of think about it. Gather your thoughts as always, because of this episode. It seems to always surprise you when I ask for best bets. So Ruby Walsh, your best bet on Saturday.
And I'm laughing at you excluding the 3-year-olds from the 425 in York, considering it's a 4-year-old and upwards race.
I would know.
There would be no 3-year-olds in it. I'm going to go with, Rory will probably go for him. So I'll go with Epicetus.
Epicetus. From one philosopher to another. Off you go, Rory.
I don't want to put my big price selection at York, because the whole point is I think he'll drift, and if I put him up as my best bet, then I'm kind of asking people to back him now. I'll go for Chaldean in the Dewhurst.
What are you doing? What are you doing? All right, Chaldean in... I haven't seen the colours, actually. Do we know who wears the first colours yet? I don't know if they've been declared yet.
Oh, I see. Maybe one of them will run in a white cap, which would be...
Or maybe it'd be both someone else. Yeah, so Chaldean in the Dewhurst. The Dewhurst is at 3 o'clock, by the way. That's Rory's nap. And Ruby, yours goes at Newmarket in the 225, isn't it? The Epictetus or Epictetus, no idea, anyway. Those are the naps. That's it, folks. Free tickets available for Punchdown on Tuesday. Retweet, quote tweet any tweet regarding the many podcasts we've had out this weekend and say something nice about us. And that'll be us done. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll be back next week. It's a more standard week with the racing weekend for Rory and Ruby and Fridays with Fran on Thursday. I'll bid you adieu. Enjoy the weekend, lads.
Thank you very much.